Welcome to OK Sis Podcast.
Hi, sisters. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Scout.
And we are sisters IRL.
I'm the older one.
Yes, Scout. We know.
We're cultural observers.
And of curious minds.
Get ready for sisterly banter while we chat about fixations, learnings, and personal growth.
We promise it'll be a good time.
As long as you don't get too loud, Mads.
Welcome to the sisterhood. Hello and welcome back to OK Sis. My name is Maddie.
I am Scout, and you want to know what song I'm singing constantly over and over and over again?
Probably because you had a bad day.
No.
You're taking one.
No, it's much more current than that. It's on the pulse.
Whoa.
Well, it's not on the pulse. It came out like 3 months ago, but.
Oh, great. You know, which you know what? On Scout time, that's the current.
Yes, that is the pulse.
You know?
So I'm singing, yeah. The way you hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, dune. Feel so holy, holy. I'm like singing, holy. I am like gospeling it up. I am at church. I am singing. God, I love that fucking song.
Yes. I feel you. I'm on a J. Beebe kick as well. His song, Anyone, is a banger. It actually hurts for me to hear it because I just physically need to be in a club surrounded by sweaty bodies screaming, or like at Coachella screaming to this song. But, you know, I'm in my room screaming to it. So best next option.
Justin Bieber is only 3 years younger than me, but he came on the scene at the age of 16. So I was 19. So like that's a really big age gap. So I always never.
He's my age.
Yeah, I never resonated with Justin Bieber. He was always like a little boy to me. And then I was going through his like top 10 songs on Apple Music. And I realized his new music is legit. Like I love Justin Bieber.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's definitely gone through a transformation. My favorite Bieber phase was Sorry, which I think was a lot of people's phase. That whole like revolution that he created, and then Despacito, that phase was also a good one. I mean, he is just, he can do no wrong.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at him, I still see a little boy, but when
a little boy,
but his music is fire lately. I mean, I was just listening. I drove up to Orange County yesterday for my friend's drive-by baby shower, and it was just Justin Bieber, and then I went to Drake, and I was like, it's a good day.
Wow, this is amazing for you. I mean, Justin Bieber is definitely going through like a spiritual awakening, so I think you and him would really bond. We should like get you guys connected. Like, we should get him on the pod.
I know, because he's really talking about God a lot, and I am with him. I'm literally singing his praises. I mean, I'm sure part of his, you know, whole thing with God is Jesus Christ, which I don't necessarily, you know, subscribe to, but I find there's a connection. Like the way he talks about the fact that the first thing in his life is his faith, and then comes his himself and his marriage. I think that's such a beautiful way to look at life. And so I believe, you know, like people are really into Hailey Bieber. Like I'm into Justin Bieber.
Wow. I mean, you're a believer. This is, wow. I mean, you're part of the standhood.
That kind of creates a double meaning because Justin and I are also God believers too. So.
Oh, all right. Well, okay. Let's just, all right. It's a little too much metaphor for me today. Too early in the morning.
Oh God.
Oh wow. Well, fabulous. I'm encouraging you on this journey. I am with you, and I accept it.
Yeah. Do you know when the Joe Bros are going to come out with another album?
You know what? I don't know, but I need it. I'm like craving it in my veins. We need another roller coaster, and we need another drunken night at the Hollywood Bowl when I started twerking to the Joe Bros.
No, you weren't twerking. You were giving me a lap dance. There's a difference. There's a really big difference, okay? You were seriously so fucked up that you were on top of me giving me a lap dance while there was, okay, the Hollywood Bowl is amazing, but it's truly a mosh pit. Like, you get a ticket and you don't have a seat. Like, there's no seats.
Yeah,
and I had to apologize to the women behind us as you were screaming at them to listen to our podcast. Because I think,
you know what? This was a marketing strategy. Scout, you're the one that tells us that we have to talk to every single person that we meet and have them rate and review and subscribe the podcast. So you know what? I was like just doing part of our marketing strategy. So I'm sorry.
Yeah. You, I think you delivered, you know, a real spectacle, a real show there.
Also, can we just like remember lap dances? Like, remember those?
What do you mean remember lap dances? Like, what the fuck does that even mean? Like, do you mean going to the strip club? Do you mean performing them for your significant other? Like, where does...
I mean all of the above.
Okay.
All of the above. Well, I frequent the strip club. I am a big fan. I like to encourage that career path for women. I think it is an empowering career path. I want to be up there on the stage with them. I enjoy the strip club experience, but in the lap dances, I just mean like being close to someone in a sweaty mosh pit of the Hollywood Bowl. That is more so what I was referring to in this case.
Oh, I had a really scarring moment at a lap dance, and or not a lap dance, at a strip club.
Yeah, you've told us, Scout. You have recounted the story. We don't need to go there.
It really scars me to this
day.
You're
ruining strip clubs for us all.
Well,
get out.
My personal space was really invaded, and I didn't appreciate, one, being motorboated into the stripper's boobs, and two, her attempting to motorboat me.
You gotta lean in. You gotta lean in.
Yeah, as Sheryl Sandberg says, lean in.
As Sheryl Sandberg says, lean in. I think that is what she meant when she wrote the book.
Lean into the bosom.
Lean into the motorboat.
Lean into the bosom of the stripper. Jesus Christ.
Also, you also just like have the perfect stripper bosom. So it's, you know, it's like you need to flaunt what our mom gave you.
Yeah,
like,
well,
she didn't give it to me.
I wasn't given an option. My dress was torn off, so it was flaunted. Is it? You know.
Oh gosh.
So.
All right, let's just move swiftly along. Should we talk about our virtual event?
Oh yeah, sisters. Which I realized this weekend is so crazy. A year ago this weekend, we had our first live event at the Dream Hotel with Cassie and Michelle Randolph, which was a fucking treat. And it's crazy because now a year and a week later, we are launching our first virtual live event, sisters. It is going
It's going to be spectacular.
Yeah, it's on February 6th, this Saturday, from 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to 2 p.m.
If you want to join conversations like what we just had right now about motorboating a stripper's bosom, that is the type of content that you can expect at the virtual event. So, like, you don't want to miss out.
Yeah, except instead of talking about strippers' bosoms, we're talking about the cognitive behavioral therapy model with Matt Happy for a mental health workshop. So, we have a Q&A.
This is true.
Yeah, we have a Q&A with Natalie Mariduena, who you know is David Dobrik's assistant. We're going to do a 20-minute interview. And then when you purchase your ticket, you have a chance to write in a question and she might answer your question live. We are also having a conversation with Brittany Xavier, OG fashion influencer and TikTok extraordinaire. And you also have the opportunity when you purchase a ticket to ask her a question. And then we have a mental health workshop with Matt Happy and a dance party and three huge, huge, huge giveaways from brands like Crown Affair, Dad Cool, Bala, Dirty Lemon, Woo More Play, Intelligent Change, The Skin Spot by Dr. Sheila Nazarian, The Colonistas, Alexis Lee Jewelry, Renewed Lunia, and Book of the Month.
I mean, just for that giveaway alone, can we get a standing ovation? Like, holy shit.
Yeah, we should mention that there's three giveaways and each of those three giveaways include all of those brands.
All of them. You know that like cute little 5-minute journal that everyone is posting all over your Instagram? That's what's going to be in it.
Or the cute wrist weights from Bala? That's what's going to be in it. Or some lube.
Or the hair oil from Crown Affair that just looks like a spectacular addition to your shelf in your bathroom? That's what's going to be in there.
So, sisters, come join us. Over this past year, we've built the most amazing community of sisters with you guys, and we just want to hang for 4 hours on Saturdays. Get your mimosas ready or your tea, whichever you prefer, and you can go to the show notes.
Also, also, you don't like have to have your Zoom camera on. So if that is deterring you because you're just like scared you're going to have to talk or something, like we will encourage if anyone wants to come up to the stage and ask the question or talk or whatever. But I don't want people to be like, oh my God, do I have to be on the video for all the long? You can be loafing around on your couch looking like a slob. We do not care. We will entertain you. This is for you. So, and also you can come and go as you please, just so you know. You don't have to stay for the full 4 hours. Just want to put that out there.
Yeah. If you want Maddie to entertain you by screaming, this is for you for 4 hours. you can buy tickets at the link in our show notes or the link in our Instagram bio. And we cannot fucking wait to see you there. We really, truly can't. But before that, you have to listen to this episode, which is amazing.
Before that, you have to listen to this episode. I mean, who wouldn't want to listen to this episode? We had the founder of Gold, Trinity, on who, I mean, if you just have a pulse or if you just like have an Instagram account, you have probably seen this product grace your Instagram feed. It's a line of superfood like powders and mixes that go into like lattes. But then she also has skin products and face masks that are all these incredible adaptogen and superfood ingredients. And not only does she have a stellar product, but she is just such a balanced and beautiful soul. I mean, I say it in the podcast, but when I think of self-care, my mind just automatically goes to her and her brand and the like way that she lives her life, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and I feel like we really started the interview off with a lot of high energy, a lot of giggles.
Oh yeah, just you're gonna see a side of Trinity that you have never seen before.
Yeah, we're talking about rats, pet rats, we're talking about gardening, we're talking about all the things, working with your partner,
snow plowing.
We learned the ins and outs of how to figure out your driveway when it snows, all the things, just all the real important things that you need in this world.
Yeah.
So I think she's our best friend. It will be confirmed.
Yes.
It will be confirmed, yes, after this episode. But she is lovely. She is pure, pure light, joy, groundedness. She's so fucking cute. And we know you're going to love this episode, sisters.
Enjoy.
Oh my God. Look at your face. Look at your beautiful face. Welcome.
Hello. Hello.
Trinity, you are like a beaming ray of sunshine. You're wearing yellow. Who knew people could pull off yellow?
It's just all the exterior lighting that I have, guys. It's working, it's just for the setup.
So.
Oh my God. There's snow outside.
There is. We had a really nice snowstorm a couple days ago, and it was like a snow globe over here. So.
Oh, well, it's 55 degrees in Southern California and people are bitching about it. So
I've literally heard about it. I heard about it from upstate New York.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Yeah, it's a crisis when it drops below 63.
I know, I know. I mean, I gotta say, I envy you guys a little bit.
It's so funny because like, I envy you, but I feel like I would only like it for one day, you know, like I'd be like, oh my God, it's a snowstorm. How cozy. And like it's like romantic, but then I'd be over it.
Well, the snowstorm itself is fantastic. And like the morning after is so beautiful. But after that, it's, you know, you're kind of over it.
Totally.
Yeah. I was thinking, I was in Idaho a few weeks ago at my friend's house in like the middle of nowhere with all this snow. And I realized, I was like, oh, fuck. If you live in like a house, you have to like
plow
your snow out of the driveway.
Oh, no. We have like up here, like everyone has like someone who comes. So there are guys with like plows on their trucks who like, it's actually usually for us, it's the same people who come and like mow the lawn like every like couple of like weeks or whatever. So they have a winter contract too, to also just come and do the sidewalk and everything. Cause it's my mom's house and she's not doing that. Like she's usually here alone. And now she's just like being bothered by me and my partner living here. And like, this is her back porch. It's a three season porch, but we've got two space heaters and we've just been making it work. Like we just kind of took over her life. So, you know, we're here as long as like she's willing to keep us.
Oh my gosh. I love how Trinity just had to like explain to us what snow plowing was. Like we are the most Southern California people ever.
Listen, I live in a house now, and I'm noticing that when you live in a house, people just like show the fuck up. Like I look outside, I'm like, a gardener. I have two different types of gardeners, okay? I have the one that mows the lawn, and then I have the one that takes care of my like garden where I get greens and carrots from. Mm-hmm. And there's just people showing up constantly, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. My mom also has like an exterminator because like, I don't know, at one point we had like, mice or chipmunks. I think it was literally chipmunks. Chipmunks are the most vicious creatures, and they kept like finding their way into the walls because it's an old house. So like we have like an exterminator come once a month to do like, I don't know what, I guess like spray some sort of toxic chemicals that I should be aware of.
This is like the unsexy side of life. Like just these like random upkeep things that we have to deal with. Like,
well, I have a rat in my backyard right now that's eating my greens. Well, I'm just saying this is like stuff that you need to know if you have like an outdoor area of a house.
I had a pet rat. I actually had two different pet rats growing up. Okay. So like that
I don't know. I used to like you, Trinity, and now I'm just confused because you had a pet rat.
I had two separate occasions.
So, I mean, we had hamsters, though. That's like a...
Oh my God, rats are so much nicer and smarter than hamsters. Oh, wow. Like I had a bunch of hamsters growing up too, but they bite you, they run away. Like, I don't know, they were never that nice and they were always nocturnal, but rats, interestingly enough, are smart enough that like they like spending time with you. So they're naturally nocturnal, but they'll switch their schedule to be up with you and like go to bed at night. So if you can get over the tail, they're honestly like kind of...
Okay, real quick, before we get into current fixations and actually talk about you, this is really triggering because one time I was in a bathroom, like my friend had a pool and there's like a bathroom by the pool. And so you don't have to like walk through the house wet. And it's very tiny, right? It's like very tiny. And I'm in there and I'm go to the bathroom and I'm like washing my hands and there's no towels out. So I open up the cabinet below and like see a towel. I'm and cringing. I grab a towel and a fucking rat comes out with it. And I'm screaming. The rat is jumping on my leg. The door's fucking locked.
No. Unsubscribe. Unsubscribe. I did not consent to this story. What the fuck?
Okay, let's do a podcast, shall
we? That concludes our rat talk. Let's transition into current fixations. Scout, why don't you go first?
Okay, this is like the best. Okay, so right now my current fixation is that I'm reading this book called The How to Inner Peace. Ooh. And so it's by Constance Kellou. I'm saying that name wrong. Kellough. And Tina Marie Clark, who we've had on the podcast, just showed a picture of it on her Instagram story. I think someone bought it for her. And so naturally, I bought it. And it's very good. I like it because I think that a lot of aspects of spirituality are really difficult to understand. Like, how do I get there? Like, you keep telling me we're all one, but how do I actually adopt that practice? Or you keep telling me to find inner stillness or inner peace or like that inner energy of source, but how do I experience that? And I have found on my own spiritual journey that it just takes years for things like that to click for you. And so she really breaks it down into a very digestible, easy way and practices that you can do to start really embodying those spiritual ideals, etc. So like, what does coming from higher consciousness look like? Like, what does that physically, mentally, steps that you can take to embody that? Or a lot of stuff about inner peace, inner body meditation, like how to awaken the energy in your body and feel connected to the inner body energy. So I was thinking of sending it to Mads because it is, in a sense, good for beginners, but some of the stuff she talks about I can see being off-putting for beginners. So I would say it's kind of like for the medium level spiritual person.
Would you say that you're at a solid medium?
Oh, I'm Scout's a solid she's up there.
Well, I'm a solid medium, I would say, in my knowledge, but I'm above that in my openness, in my like accepting of crazy, crazy things. Like I read Shaman Durek's book, which I would never have Maddie read in 25 million years.
Side note, I was in Clubhouse yesterday. I opened up the app. Shaman Durek was just in there. Chatting up. Casual.
He sends me voice notes calling me queen. He doesn't know who I am. I just DM him and then he sends me them. But so this is good for the middle ground. I can't today. I don't know what's going on. This is good for the middle ground spirituality person who has heard these concepts, who feels embodied to them, but just wants to amplify it even more.
Where would you say you're at in your spiritual journey, Trinity? I feel like you're really in tune.
Oh my God. I feel like I'm not very in tune, but my partner is extremely in tune. So my partner Issei, who was, he's half Japanese. He was born in Japan. His dad is American and actually almost took over a temple in Japan. Like he was there, practicing or whatever. And they wanted to leave the temple to him. And he almost took over the temple, but then decided that, that was the monk life was not necessarily for him in the long term. So I feel like my partner Issei just has such a intrinsic understanding of a lot of that stuff, and so I feel like he teaches me a lot of these things, and they don't necessarily have the right names or whatever, but the way of thinking about things has been really helpful. So I feel like he often ends up being my inadvertent spiritual advisor. So I don't know, I feel very much like I am a person who is pretty at peace in general. But I don't think I've really even scratched the surface as far as particularly intentionally educating myself on a lot of these pieces.
That's what's so exciting about spirituality. I think that so many things, not that there's an end point, there's always more that we can be learning, of course, but in spirituality, it just feels like an endless well that's available to us. And so it excites me because I feel as if it's a kind of a journey companion that I'll have throughout my life.
To me, it just feels like self-discovery and self-knowledge, just a constant uncovering and understanding of yourself, which is invaluable. And I don't think it needs to follow a specific path or have the specific lexicon attached to it. It can just be something that you move through individually. But I love that. Okay, so my current fixation. So everyone knows that we are huge bibliophiles over here at OK Sis, and I just got back into reading physical books. We had a little stint in the iPad reading, but we're back to physical books. And yes. My boyfriend notified me of this website called Thrift Books, and it's essentially the world's largest online independent used bookseller. So they compete directly with Amazon, because they have very, very similar prices, if that's a concern to you. And they have a very quick delivery. So that's also great because it's directly competing with Amazon. And then, it's sustainable, obviously. You're receiving secondhand books in incredible condition, I must say. And then you feel good about supporting an independent bookseller. So I highly recommend, if you're a big book nerd like we are, look at Thrift Books. They have every book that you want and at very, very competitive prices. So I would highly recommend.
Love
that. I like that, because yesterday, as I decided to switch now to physical books, I'm just influenced by people left and right, because you did it, Matt. So I was maybe I should do that. I was God, this doesn't feel so sustainable though. So I like that option.
Or also to support Amazon in general. It's just nice to find an alternative that feel like you're not really compromising on price or the delivery time. So why not,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I love when there's an opportunity to shop in a way that feels sustainable, but it doesn't feel like you're going out of your way to do this ridiculously not UX friendly thing.
Right.
If you can get both of those, then that's the best.
Exactly. I love it. Okay. Trinity, what is your current fixation?
Okay. My current fixation is a human being. Do you guys know Monty Don?
No.
No.
Okay. I discovered him recently because I've been watching a lot of BBC shows. He has a show called Gardener's World, and he's basically just the gardener. I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Is he English?
Yeah.
Yeah. My sister-in-law told me about him.
He's incredible. I've like, it's a recent discovery, like in the past, I don't know, couple of months, I started watching like every episode of Gardener's World. But also apparently, I don't know, Issei was telling me that like maybe this is the last season and they canceled it, which is like really hard for me to take. But I got so deep into it. Like I, since we're up here upstate for the foreseeable future, I wanted to get into gardening. And so I started watching the show, and like Monty Don has this like beautiful old like classic English garden, like these gardens, you know, like it has a name. I can't remember what the name is, but it's like something really lovely in British. And like there are all these different like gorgeous like flowers, and he's got his vegetable garden, and every episode he's showing you like how to garden this or that and like some jobs for the weekend, which is just like adorable and great. And I like ordered a bunch of gardening supplies, and I'm getting ready for springtime, and I bought his book, and I'm just really deep into it. There was one section of the book that I bought from him where he was talking about like the sense of a place and the idea that any garden, you know, if you're coming into this place, it should feel remarkably of the place. You know, you shouldn't be like kind of recreating like, oh, it's almost as if you're like wherever, like it should feel like that place. And the poetry with which he spoke literally drew tears to my eyes as I was reading the book. So I'm just absolutely obsessed. I'm sure that like, I just haven't done enough research, and like someone's gonna tell me that like he did some problematic things. I feel like this always happens when I fall in love with someone. But for now I'm just like, I'm all over it.
I would have to say, though, is that I now have a garden, and I hired somebody to do it because I wasn't going to do it. I'm like not there yet, but I'm just slowly being introduced to the beauty of it because it's so nice. Like in the morning, I go outside and I pick my greens to saute with my eggs. Like it just feels so beautiful. Or I go and get an orange from my tree, or a grapefruit, or an avocado. And now when I buy like the kale at Trader Joe's that's packaged up, it just doesn't feel as fresh anymore. I mean, no. I literally was sitting on my couch texting Mads, and I said, there's a caterpillar on my screen right now because it just came out of the food that I was eating, I suppose. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I know. It feels, there's something so wholesome about it. Our dad is a gardener. He is like obsessed with the garden. He is just like showing it off to everyone who comes over. He's like, oh, have you seen my garden? Like, it's just the cutest, most wholesome thing. And when you eat a meal that has come out of a garden, like there is just, it's unparalleled.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, we got super into the farmers markets in Brooklyn when we were there. And so that's like the number one thing that I've really been missing is just like having that connection to like real fresh food. And so I'm excited to hopefully experience that again.
Get back. I know. Okay. Well, this is a perfect transition because everything about gold is wholesome and nourishing and nurturing. And we are just so excited to talk to you, not only about the product itself, but about the ethos of the brand and the, I mean, complete takeover of your brand. I think like everyone who is listening to this, even if you haven't tried Gold, you have heard of it or seen it on Instagram. So first, for those who are unaware, which like, hello, are you living under a rock? What is Gold in your opinion? What is it, and what does it mean to you?
Yeah, so Gold is superfood health and beauty for everybody. And that really translates to superfood powered products like our latte blends or our most recent launch of the Super Aid. So products that you're adding into your sort of ingestible wellness routine. We also have a couple of superfood skincare products as well, both of which won beauty awards in 2020, including Allure Best of Beauty, which was a real thrill for us. But we're really just all about taking wellness and making it more easy and accessible, and most importantly, fun for this next generation who's so excited to build out their self-care routine, but is still looking for a brand to really champion in the space.
And tell us the origin story. Like, how did you first stumble upon the idea? And then what was it like once you had the idea to executing this fully? And I'm just going to ask like 10 questions in one. What were the like initial few months like in the business? You know, what did those days look like?
So I've been into wellness for a while. I first really got into it through my mom. I was raised by a single parent with a pretty severe autoimmune disease. When my mom switched over to seeing this more holistically minded physician when I was a teenager, she saw this incredible improvement in her symptoms, and it was really like night and day. So that was a really sort of pivotal moment for me. And I decided that, okay, this is my career path. I want to be a doctor, and I want to sort of practice medicine through this lens of holistic care. I went down to NYU for college, and I was pre-med there, and all was well until I found out from my mom that she actually had to stop seeing that doctor because she couldn't afford it anymore. Which really like forced me to pause and think on what it was that I wanted to do in wellness and how the piece of accessibility played into that. I graduated from college. I wasn't really sure what I was going to do with myself. I kind of fell into a marketing career at a tech startup, as one did at that time. And honestly kind of loved it. It was a small team. I was kind of just like thrown into the fire in the best way possible. But I was also definitely that friend or coworker who was recommending various herbal remedies to you, depending on how you were feeling. So I knew I had to get back to that somehow. And I think the missing piece for gold was really my partner, Issei, who is also my high school sweetheart. We started the business together, I think like inspired by his experience. His parents started their own candle company, like over 20 years ago out of their garage. So he just had this intangible of a lifetime spent watching a business scale and grow profitably and with it being a family business. I think that was sort of like our window into entrepreneurship and understanding that it was something that we could try out. Mm-hmm. I know you asked like three other questions, but I feel like I should pause here.
Yes, yes. Well, what I want to say is you talk a lot about bootstrapping your business in the beginning and the unglamorous side of being an entrepreneur. Both Scout and I are entrepreneurs, but it's something, I don't know where I recently saw you say this, but you said that like you didn't take a salary for like a couple years and only took out for rent and maybe like $50 a week for the farmer's market, which like... Oi. So talk to us about that decision, because I think a lot of people aren't willing to sacrifice that much for something. So like, why was it so, so important to you to achieve this that you had to sacrifice that much?
Well, I didn't know about investors when we started our business. We were both 23 years old at the time. And the only stories we had heard of, you know, about investors were like horror stories from like Issei's parents, friends who had like given away half of their companies and now they were unhappy. So like, it wasn't even in the realm of possibility for us. And I think that a lot of people start businesses to achieve the foremost goal of personal wealth. I think that's fine. I mean, like, we're in a capitalist society, do what you do. Our goal was to do something fun, do something that was going to help us both grow, and like get out of our like rat race jobs in the city and spend more time together doing creative stuff. So like that was the plan. And the whole idea was like, if we can just pay our rent doing something this great, we're winning, like we're absolutely winning. And so just getting to the point of being able to pay rent felt like, oh, wow, like this is awesome. And we just got used to being broke, you know? I mean, like you're broke in college, like we had decent jobs when we, you know, came out of school, but then like quickly thereafter we had given those up in exchange for gold. So, you know, I wasn't leaving some like cushy situation. So I wasn't that far removed from like eating like, you know, $1 noodles like 3 days in a row to like keep, you know, money in my pocket. So it wasn't that crazy to just like live like that continually. So we just like didn't buy stuff. We just went to the farmer's market and there was like so much joy in that and building relationships with the farmers there and, you know, being able to get like really good produce there and just like cooking really awesome stuff for ourselves. So I think we just found a lot of joy in building something together and spending time together. And I don't think that we really needed these like exterior sources of, I don't know, satisfaction. I think even now that we've finally gotten to the point of paying ourselves like 4 fucking years later. Sorry, I don't know if I can curse, but.
Oh yes, don't even worry, yes.
I still don't really spend any money because I'm just not used to the idea of spending money. It's just so far removed from how we've been living for so long now.
You know, it's so interesting because Gary Vee always says that a lot of the times the expenses in your life are the prisons of your life. And so, which actually I don't, that is not a direct quote. That is, I'm going to take credit for that because that's how I interpreted his message. And it's so true because I look back and like I'm 29 right now and I have gotten to a certain financial independence in my life. And it would be, I don't have children, so there's that, but it would be very difficult for me to go backwards. It really, really would. I think once you have the money, it's harder to live as if you don't. And so at the age of 24, like, fuck yeah, I was a barista. I worked on tips. I made no money and I was like, my husband and I would go to Denny's and split a meal. So our meal was like $6. Like that was date day, you know? And now we're like going to the fucking steakhouse if it wasn't COVID. So I think that if you're listening to this and you're in a situation where you're young enough, where you haven't experienced certain luxuries in life, certain financial independence. And so that's something of the future. Like take advantage of that moment right now, because I always think to myself, like I am a born and true entrepreneur. I have been since I was 22. But if you asked me to go back to that super scrappy point, like I don't think I could at this point. And so it's such a superpower if you're listening and you are in that point, like now is the time, because the, like, you know, 22 to 26 and plus can be very scrappy.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
I love that. So, I mean, I agree with you. I think just what struck me when you had said that, I don't know where it was that I saw this, but it was just, it like triggered something in me. 'Cause I was like, wow, I don't know if people talk that much about this like unglamorous side, but it's not something to be afraid of. And you know, you have a series on your Instagram where you talk very candidly about being an entrepreneur and what it means. And I think that's a very of the moment and of our generation type of content. I think we are all just so vulnerable and open to the challenges and the daily struggles of being an entrepreneur. And it's something, and I think that's why there are so many people cultivating their lives and their realities and dreams in today's age. I do want to mention, so as I said, gold is like taken over the internet and I see it everywhere. So, you know, when I think of self-care and wellness, my mind automatically gravitates towards gold and the brand that you've cultivated. I mean,
yes,
you it's true though. Like I think of that presence and you guys have this like stillness and this quality online to get it. It doesn't feel like digital, it doesn't feel like pushy, but I know that you guys are so successful. So I want to know from a marketing perspective, like how did you achieve that type of association with your customers? Like how can you establish, like when you think of wellness and self-care on the internet, I'm thinking of gold.
Well, first of all, that's just the best thing to hear, because I usually set that as like my goal and my expectation for the long haul. So I'm really glad to hear that it's starting to pick up now. It really just took a lot of time. You know, like we didn't start this business and say like, we're going to be the thing that people think about when they think about self-care. We started with one product that we like designed and manufactured ourselves. We did all the product photography ourselves, like everything. And you know, from there, we just tried to be as transparent as possible and just really tell this story of two young people trying to get something off the ground. And I think that authenticity is what has driven this mainly. And so it's not something that we kind of like strategized and like woke up to overnight. It's definitely something that has taken many, many years of just like chugging away at. And I think now at this point, it's cool because we have our brand ambassador program and things like that. And so we see the brand outside of just the lens of, you know, myself and the team. It's really this whole universe of young people who are just so excited about what we're doing and just want to be a part of the conversation. So I think creating spaces for digital conversations and for digital community is really critical. And I think that's a big piece of what we've been doing for the past couple of years.
And I like talking about kind of, as Matt says, like when she thinks of wellness, she thinks of goal, like this kind of 360 brand or this 360 lifestyle. And when I think of wellness, I think of lifestyle. So for me, and I would love to hear your opinion on this, like I always thought that like taking care of your body and stuff meant like going to the gym and eating like chicken, you know, that's boiled and boring. But all of a sudden, especially I think with the age of Instagram and stuff, all of these kind of remedies, holistic stuff, herbal things have been made so much more accessible and so much more illuminating. So I would love to hear from you on a personal scale what wellness means to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that wellness is really just about taking the steps that you need to take to feel like your best self. And that can be anything. It can be calling your mom. It can be doing a smoothie in the morning. It can be not working out because you don't feel like it. Like, I think that there are certain guidelines for human physical health, right? Like, and there are things that I tend to uphold, like eat a bunch of vegetables, try not to be stressed out, whatever. But I think that like wellness as a whole is really just coming back to when you feel like your best self, when you feel the happiest and the most centered, and building rituals around that. And it's exciting to see gold fitting into the routines of so many people now. And when they're thinking about those moments when they feel like their best self, it's oftentimes like when they're doing a gold face mask or like whipping up their matcha latte. And so I feel like that's really how we fit into that bigger vision of like wellness as a lifestyle.
Absolutely. So I want to talk about how you were the youngest Black woman to launch a line at Sephora. And I don't know, it's like a huge flex, but I more so want to talk about what significance that holds for you, because given what happened last year following George Floyd's murder, gold was promoted everywhere. And I'm sure your business grew exponentially as a result.
Yeah.
And we've had many women like Leah Thomas who coined intersectional environmentalism, how her brand exploded as a result of Black death. And, you know, we always say this on OK Sis, we're not looking to our Black friends to educate us and hold all the truths, but we do have this platform. So I don't think it would be right of us not to ask you like what that experience was for you and how you contemplate that, because I mean, it probably was an incredible experience to experience all that growth, but coming from this place of like sadness and Black death. So I want you to talk a bit about that.
Yeah. I mean, it was a weird time. It was all of a sudden we were having record-breaking sales days and everybody was coming out of the woodwork, every retailer, every investor in particular. And it was tough. I mean, it was tough to lead a company during that time. It was tough to like show up to the company Zoom call and like not cry. It was a very like challenging time to kind of process, because it was also exciting, because to your point, I mean, we did more in revenue in you know, the month of June than we did in the entire previous year of 2019. I mean, it was nothing short of like an absolute explosion. And I think the one really incredible thing that did come out of that extremely challenging time, I think for like every Black person on the planet, was that on our end, we saw that that level of support really was sustained. And so with that, we were now a bigger business than we were previously. And we were really where, frankly, we should have always been, and, you know, where we would have been had we, you know, been able to, you know, raise more money from investors earlier on if we had not been a Black-owned business and things like that. So I think it was kind of like a leveling of the playing field that finally happened, because, you know, it's not like we had you know, just launched as a business that year. We'd been around for 3.5 years by the time that like big explosion happened. So we had all this, you know, new revenue and we had additional profits. We donated over $10,000 to the NAACP. We found ways to, I think, leverage the new power that we had to build the world that we wanted to see. And so I think that on the end of kind of the question of like, well, this isn't going to bring back, you know, someone who, you know, was killed. This isn't going to, you know, fix whatever. It's not. But empowering more Black people to be able to build the world and, you know, the equity that deserves to be, I think is really critical. And so I think that was the positive thing that came out of it. But yeah, I mean, it was terrible.
It's so, I mean, I think that now that we're a certain amount of months after that, it's we all kind of wondered what the after effects were going to be after everybody was scrambling, for lack of a better term. And it fills me with a lot of hope that you came on and said that what you found was that interest and that was sustained and that the leveling field has kind of equalized, because that's from what that's the best case scenario we could have hoped for.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there's always like, there are many impacts of like any one single event. And so I think you can't necessarily call it like, oh, in the end it was good, in the end it was bad, but like there are different things that happened and there are ways that you can see positive in that, even if it was overwhelmingly really just a tragedy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you said something about being a leader and like running a company during that time. And so I would love to hear how you think your team views you as a boss and a leader, and if that's something that you think about. You know, I think that as entrepreneurs, we think about being our own boss, but we don't think about being the boss to like everybody else and what that entails. So I'd love to hear about your journey with, you know, rising, especially since you started the company so young, you know, and what kind of team culture you like to exhibit within your company.
Yeah. Building a team has been the unexpected best part of building this company. I'm such a nurturer. I'm definitely like a little bit of a mom. I love everyone on the team, and I adore them, and I'm always so impressed with the way that they continue to show up for the brand, the level of dedication that they have. It really, you know, I don't like to say this because I think that it can kind of bring around like the wrong sort of culture, but like it really is a bit of a family dynamic where like you just have this sense of everyone really is excited to do the work and excited to be here and excited to be part of it. And I just don't think we could have imagined having so many great people who were just ready to learn and dig in and like take ownership. So I think I try to be firm but fair. I really try to push people to be as good as I know that they can be. But I never, you know, I never yell. I never, you know, criticize someone in a way that's, you know, not constructive. I think that, you know, it's important to set those boundaries though, because if you don't set boundaries, then there are none. And it's actually not healthy for anyone. Like no one wants to work at a company where like they don't have any sense of like what they should be doing or should not be doing. I think we all like think that would be lovely, but human beings like a little bit of structure. They like knowing, you know, kind of like what's their job and what's someone else's job. And so I think it's important to provide that structure, but still really have this like fun, feel good environment. And I think the vibes that we put out to our customer are definitely the vibes that, you know, we're prioritizing on the team.
Absolutely.
How many members of your team do you have?
Oh my God, it's grown really quickly. It's a mix of part-time and full-time, but including myself and my co-founder, I think we're like 7 or 8 now, which feels crazy because like as of a year ago, we were 2.5.
And I know Matt has a question, but I am so interested in what the fuck it's like to work with your partner because
that was
what I was gonna ask. My husband.
I was like, not only you guys high school sweethearts, but like, I mean, just in it for the long haul.
My husband brought an idea to me and we fought about the like the initial conversation. Like I was like, I'm never working with you ever. What is it like? How do you turn it off? How do you remain romantic? All of the things.
Yeah, I mean, we get this question so often, and I think that oftentimes, like, I'm getting this question from someone who's like, hey, I'm thinking about starting a business with my significant other. What do you think? And I always tell them, if you have to ask, you already know. And it has no implication on the health of your actual relationship or you two as people. But if you're not like, oh, yeah, of course this is who I'm starting my, who else would I start my business with? Then don't do it. I'll be honest though, like I have known a lot of like early stage businesses to have founder breakups. I don't know if like you guys have known some as well, but
I've had 2, 3. Yeah, I've had 3.
It can be brutal, but like I've always seen them happen. I've never seen that actually happen with a couple. Like I've always seen it happen with like, oh, I like kind of knew this person, they were a friend, or like maybe they were a really close friend, but you know, I would honestly never go into business with a friend. Like that would, I could not do that. I think what's beautiful.
Wait, Rachel and Dave Hollis broke up.
I don't know who those are.
We don't know who they are. Okay. Well,
what's their company?
The Rise Company. She's like
also Drybar. They broke up, but I think they're like on good terms.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. But yeah, I agree. Like I would never, the only partnership I can do is with Mads. If someone comes to me to start a business, I'm like, go yeah. away.
No, I think like you, it's such an important relationship and you can't just force that into like any given person. I've had friends ask like, hey, let's like start this thing. And it's like, no, I can't. Like, I think there's something, and I wonder if you guys feel the same way, but with myself and my partner, we finish each other's sentences. We're like so aligned. There's like nothing that is off the table with us. That level of transparency, I think, is kind of a superpower for us because we're never like, oh, I wonder like what they're thinking. You know, like you know it before they even say it. And I think, I feel like that is very important if you're going to have something as intimate as a business partnership.
Yeah. I mean, we get this question also so much, like how is it working with your sister? And I think the radical transparency and then the just no bullshit, like we don't like have to skirt around someone's feelings. Like I just say like, oh no, like off the table, done. And it's just, shit just gets done so much quicker because we're on a, you know, we're very, very different, Scout and I, and different work ethics and everything. But like at the core and the essence, I totally feel what you're saying. There's like this like connection that just we know what's best for each other and the brand. Yeah. It's so true.
Yeah, exactly. And you have each other's backs, you know, like you're not going to like do something to like rip each other off or something like. I think that's really critical.
Absolutely. All right, let's ask the last question, our favorite question, Scoutala.
Oh, Scoutala, that's me. Okay, so we ask this of all women who come on the podcast at the end. If you could brag about one thing in your life and don't be humble, what would you brag about?
Well, this is really good timing because we just launched 3 new products exclusively at Target, so.
what?
Can I show you guys?
Yeah, of course.
Oh my God, please.
I have them on my desk.
Ooh.
Okay, I'm so bad at like showing this on Zoom, but okay. So these are the Super Aids. They're powders that dissolve straight into cold water. So like totally next level from all of our other products. They're superfood powered. We have watermelon skin hydration, blueberry de-stress, and pineapple de-bloat. They're made with real superfoods like real pineapple juice, real coconut water, but they also have like the de-bloat has probiotics, it's got digestive enzymes, it's got ginger extract, so it like actually is proven to work. I'm just absolutely obsessed. They're in like hundreds of Targets across the country. And like, if there's a little shelf talker of like my bright and shining face next to all of them. So like, it's just been an incredible week.
Oh my God. Okay, wow. Wait. First of all, like, wow, my heart just skipped a beat when you said the de-bloat one. We're like bloated queens over here. So like, we need that ASAP. Yes. Mazel tov. That is like in, oh, like, so I can go to Target right now and I'll see him.
Yeah, yeah. You have to like check on target.com and okay, you can just type in gold and see which Target has them. But yes, exactly.
That is major.
Major.
And seriously, well deserved. Is that the right thing? Well deserved. Well deserved. I was going to say should deserved sounds like more appropriate. But anyways, you deserve that and so much more. Truly, 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 you are such a gem. And please let everybody know where they can find you and gold and all the things.
Yes. Okay. Thank you guys so much. I had so much fun today. You can find me on IG at Trinity Muzon, and you can find gold at gold, G-O-L-D-E.
Yay. And you can find us at OK Sis Podcast. Sister. Love you, sisters.